My friends, spring is in the air, and this upcoming concert season will be all about the way you look and about your boots. And Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you cannot make it into the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your next favorite pair of boots today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey guys, welcome to TFL's Talking Trucks, and you got me and Andre today.
And also Jay, our producer.
Yes, and Andre, this is the All Towing All the Time episode. We are going to be figuring out what's the best, not just truck, but what's the best powertrain to tow with. Is it gas? Is it diesel? Is it electric? Is it hybrid? Or is it something nobody's yet heard of?
Maybe hydrogen?
Maybe hydrogen. So, Jay, I don't know if you know this, but Andre has towed every type of vehicle up and down the Ike gauntlet in the truck world.
With every type of trailer.
Andre is a busy man.
So all those things I've just mentioned, you've done.
I've never towed with a hydrogen fuel cell.
We have driven one up Mount Evans.
Yes.
But didn't tow
it. But not towing.
Yeah, we drove the Mirai up Mount Evans.
Yes.
But we didn't tow
it. So let's not talk about, you know,
the Mirai.
The Mirai in this show.
That's our other podcast, right?
Yes.
That's a car podcast.
Yes.
But we will talk about trucks and about towing.
Yes.
And I've got a little rant. I've got a towing rant. Is that okay?
Yeah. You're going to kick it off right there?
With the towing rant?
Okay.
No, let's begin with a rant.
You want me to begin with a rant?
Let's start with a rant and then go to something else and then finish the rant.
Okay.
Well, let's do the rant right now.
All right.
I want to hear it.
Okay, here's my rant, okay? Why do trailers have such crappy tires? And why do you have to always, lubricate the ball bearings? You know, I feel like I'm in... I feel like I'm in the 1900s when it comes to trailers, right? There's so much frickin' maintenance on a trailer,
yes.
Right? Yeah. The tires are like rated to like 14 miles an hour.
And the wheel bearings must be oiled and greased every 10 miles.
Every 10 miles. Why? Well, how do we go from the Ford Lightning and the Cybertruck to the thing that they're towing being from 1902? How did that happen, dude? Explain that to me.
We should we should bring Mr. Truck for that history lesson here. But
let me give you a little bit of background, Jay.
Yeah.
So Andre did not lubricate his trailer
on my boat.
On his boat. And Andre, why don't you enlighten Jay as to what happened when you forgot to do that? and how much it costs.
So, Jay, this was about 6 years ago. I have a 22-foot ski boat.
Nice.
Because my wife really enjoys it, and the family. We all enjoy boating.
Right.
I did not grease my wheel bearings.
Yes, you did not grease them.
Over the winter. And then I took the trailer out, checked tire pressures. Thankfully, those were okay. And I brought a boat home from storage, and when I was making the turn into my neighborhood, I noticed that one of the tires' wheels came off the trailer, and it became it started to pass me.
This is a dual axle trailer, right?
Yes. Okay. Oh, it's a tandem axle, dual axle trailer, and one of the wheels decided to just come off.
It's never a good thing, Andre.
Yes.
It's not great.
So I quickly pulled over. Thankfully, I was at a very low speed in a neighborhood. At like 10 miles an hour, I stopped immediately. And basically what happened, the wheel bearing basically seized.
Yeah.
It was rusty inside. Seized, the wheel just stopped, and it kind of like sheared some of the bolts. Or, you know, over time, just sheared it, and it came off the hub. Just came off the hub.
So did you have to chase the tire down the street?
No, I did not.
Two questions.
Yes.
The more important one is the second one. The first one is, how much did it cost you to repair it?
Thousands of dollars. You might ask why.
Why?
So when it came off the hub, the way that trailers... So trailers are built very cheaply, right?
Yes.
And that's part of the answer to your rant.
Yes.
And the when it came off the hub, it actually scarred and scored the spindle. So basically making the whole axle unusable. You cannot reuse this, you know, it's completely, because things have to rotate on there. So then I had to replace axle.
Yeah.
And then my mechanic said, well, why don't you replace both axles? Because they're both old. So after $3,000 later, I got brand new axles and now electric brakes, because I had surge brakes before that. Mm. So that was a very expensive, very unnecessary.
So here's the more important question. I know the answer to this. As a journalist, you're never supposed to ask a question you don't know the answer to. Have you greased the bearings on our Iron Bull, Andre? Trailer.
Oops.
I take it that's a no. We have an Iron Bull trailer that we've been using for, what, 2 years now?
Yes. The answer is yes.
You have?
Oh,
so
you greased
them? Alex on our team.
Yeah.
Brought his grease gun.
Okay.
So what makes it a little bit easier is...
So Alex greased them.
Yeah, so you have a Zerk fitting. Can I do my rant now?
Yes, please.
You have a Zerk fitting on the wheel bearings. So it's supposed to make it a little bit easier, right? You get a gun, you get some grease. It's very simple. It's like $20. Come up and pump some grease into each bearing. And after about 10 minutes, you're done, right? It sounds very simple. But what happened to me also with my boat is it's very easy to overdo it, right? You accidentally put too much grease into the hub.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start driving to Lake Powell, right, in the middle of summer. It's 95 degrees outside or 105 degrees outside. What happens? The grease expands and it starts spraying out of your hubs and it sprays all over your boat.
So you had grease all over your boat?
Yes.
Wow.
That has also happened to me.
Geez.
So owning trailers is very... troublesome and very maintenance heavy. Or you can take the hub off, you can grease it by hand, and it will take hours and hours and hours.
I did that
hours.
With Kent.
Yes.
I did a video doing that. It takes
yes.
a long
it
time.
It takes a long time. So yeah. Either do it simply and accidentally overdo it, or do it in a very time-consuming manner.
And to be fair, boats, trailers go underwater, right? So when you launch the boat, you do put the wheels
you have to back into it a little bit
into the lake or wherever you're launching.
And water can enter inside of that.
So, so they do have a much more drastic use case than most trailers.
Yes.
So what about the tires? Why are the tires always so like you know?
I think it's just
money industry,
saving.
Yeah.
Well, so what was before, right? California still has this law, 55 mile an hour towing speed limit, right?
I know.
So I don't know why California hasn't changed that. They should. In every other state, you can tow at the speed limit of the highway, which is 65, 75, 80, whatever. So those tires were built in a different way, you know, for slower speeds because it's cheaper. Now, a lot of the tires are actually built to a higher standard. And my current tire, I haven't had a blowout, knock on wood, in like 5 seasons
or 7 or 6 seasons. There's nothing worse than getting a blowout on a trailer when it's loaded.
Yes.
It's just a huge pain.
And the problem usually comes from overloading that trailer,
yeah.
right? As soon as you overload that trailer, let's say you overloaded your boat with your, you know, coolers of your drinks and food and gear, all of a sudden the trailer is too heavy, boom, you have a blowout, and then you have a nightmare.
Yeah, and you're stuck on the side of the road with semi-trucks whizzing
and
by.
Your children running around.
It's not a very fun day to the bike,
No, no. And here's the funny thing. So I want to say like 8-7 years ago, I forget now, I did a video with Kent about this company that was actually doing tire pressure monitoring on trailers, right? Because
good idea.
You have to have it now by law on your truck. And it was going to like be wireless, and you know, it was going to send a little signal, and you had a little display. That was the next big thing. Never happened. I've never seen a wireless tire pressure monitor on a trailer in actual real life use, except for this testing we did.
Exactly. So, and Kent, Mr. Truck, still has that little
system
device
on his trailer. But never caught on. It would seem like a very logical thing because, especially when you're towing heavy, right, you want to have the right pressure in those tires, especially those crappy, let's face it, trailer tires.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, GM and Ram, and I think Ford started doing this, they have kits where you can buy tire pressure monitor sensors for your trailer, and they come in a little Ziploc baggie. I've seen it in some loan vehicles. But that's not enough.
No.
You have to go to the tire store. You have to install those inside of your tires. It costs time, money. Then you have to, hook it up to your truck. So
I'm going to do one more rant before we get to the second.
Wow, this is ranty. Yeah.
I want to do this rant for a long time, and it's a funny rant because it happened to me recently. Here. So we recently went and test drove both the GMC. You did the AT4X. And I did the Lightning, all right? And so Ford was kind enough to ferry me away from the rest of the journalists when I got to the program because they wanted me to tow the 8,300-pound trailer-boat combination.
Yes.
But the cool thing it was an electric boat, right?
Can we get that boat?
Can we get that boat?
Yeah.
It's called the Ark, I think.
Yeah.
I was so busy doing videos that the guys who built that boat were there, and they looked very nervous when I got in to the truck to go tow it.
I would imagine that boat is quite expensive, Roman.
I think it is. I think they said it's like $500,000.
Yeah.
It's a prototype. And the commenters were saying that they would have been happier if you'd been towing it.
Well.
So we're outside of San Antonio, right, on these like little hill country roads. I had a thing called Singing Waters, right? It's a winery. GM has, and the first time I actually got to use this was, of all places, we did it in a Discovery. It's got their tow proing backup assist.
Yeah.
So it's a little knob, Jay, that changes the way you tow. So what you do is you stick like these little stickers onto the trailer, and then the truck knows where the trailer is in conjunction to the truck. And so when you back up, what you use is this little knob that you turn, which turns the steering wheel. So instead of being counterintuitive, what I mean by that is instead of to go left, you go right, and to go right, you go left, you turn the knob right if you want to go right when you're backing up, or left, right?
Okay.
So they had it hooked up to that. So we go out, and because we had very little time, I didn't want to do the whole dry route. So I did some 0-60s, which is terrifying.
launching the
8,300-pound boat trailer combo. But it was, I'm not going to tell you how fast it was. Go to the video.
TFL Truck has a video.
Yeah, TFL.com. Yeah, go check it out. It was very impressive. So I didn't want to go on the highway. I was just doing the video. But I had the navigation set for this, 45-minute drive route. So I turn around. I'm heading back to the Singing Waters Ranch. And then I forgot that I didn't reset the navigation. So the navigation takes me up this winding road, very winding road, like almost like a one-lane winding road.
This is like in the hill country.
In the hill country, right?
Okay.
And I'm like, this is weird. And then I'm with Ian. And then about maybe a third of the mile off, we hit a gate. And there was no way you were gonna turn this up. The boat was also the longest trailer there. They had a whole bunch of different trailers on there. They had like an Airstream, the heaviest trailer there. I think Jill towed from pickup truck from Tim's channel. Right there was it was water totes, which it's boring. Let's face it, towing water is boring on video.
An electric boat is cool.
Yeah, and the water was heavier. It was like I want to say it was like 90, 100, 90, 200 pounds.
Okay,
it was getting more, but still 8,300 pounds is a lot. So I'm like, holy cow. Now I can't turn the boat around And Andre's not next to me. He's next to me. And I got to back up this boat a third of a mile.
Up down, a hill or something?
Downhill.
Downhill?
Downhill.
He told me
on
about
a
this.
Single lane twisty road. And I'm like, thank God it's got backup assist, right?
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, let's see if I can. And you know what? It was actually a lot harder to use the backup,
with a backup?
Up assist, yeah, than it was to actually just do it manually. I mean, if you tow enough, it becomes so like ingrained
in your
it's
head.
Like it's like muscle memory, right?
Right. Exactly.
So I was like, screw that. I'll just use the old-fashioned way. And I was able, you know, I went very slowly, but I was able to back it down this twisty road, just doing it the manual way. So I'm not sure that that is a very useful feature, Andre, because we've had it. We had it on our Rebel, right?
Which truck? And TRX. TRX has it.
Have we ever used it?
Used it once for a video.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So,
and I'm not trying to like beat my chest and say if you're a manly man, you should know how to tow. I'm just saying it. I don't think it makes it any easier.
So we tested it here with the RAM, right?
Yeah.
And now the RAM, so they're going away from the stickers. You know, the stickers were a little bit complicated. Right. Even Ford is going away from that. But the RAM.
This still had the stickers, though.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It
still had the stickers, yeah.
So the RAM, when you go around the block forward, it kind of remembers, it kind of figures out the trailer, right? It looks, uses the camera. I talked to some of the
engineers.
By the
way, I love that. The RAM does this cool thing, Jay,
mm-hmm,
where when you're put in tow haul mode, right, it uses the sensors, the radar sensors for blind spot monitoring, and it figures out how long your trailer is.
It kind of estimates it, yeah.
It estimates it. So it says you're towing a 40-foot trailer, and then the blind spot actually covers the trailer. I love that feature. I miss that feature.
And it does it automatically.
It does it. Yeah. You just got to make a hard turn.
Yeah.
So, you know, before you start towing, you make a left or right.
Yeah. In a similar way, it calibrates that backup assist system. And we have a video, I think it's maybe on TFL Truck or TFL Now channel. This was a couple years ago or a year and a half ago. But I backed up a trailer around our office, right? Which is a really tight area, mm-hmm, in the parking lot here. And the trailer backup assist kind of worked, but it wasn't as aggressive as I would be. You know, sometimes you need to make a tighter turn,
right,
and I'm kind of aware of that. It was just not as aggressive as I wanted it to
be. I just find it to be no easier. And if, in some ways, almost, it's like one of those technologies that doesn't make your life easier, it just makes it different.
Different, yes.
And not unnecessarily so. You're saying
the first time we did it was, remember, we were at the LA Auto Show, we did it with the Discovery. Remember, they had it in the Disco
in a tight area,
outside the LA Auto Show.
You know, the only thing that it's useful, and the Tundra has this too,
yeah,
it's where it helps you back up in a straight line.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. So, the Tundra has this new feature where it doesn't like have a knob, it just backs up in a straight line. Except when we tested it, Andre, it didn't work really well. So the thinking there is, right, there's no, and Andre will appreciate this, Jay, there's nothing more embarrassing than, you know, backing your boat down the boat ramp where 3,000 like half drunk guys are watching you,
and you do it crooked.
It becomes like it's like those wavy runner things, right, where the guys try to, have you seen those videos?
Of course.
In Florida, yeah.
It's like the same thing, except for backing up a boat into the water, right? They're like, you know, guys sitting out there, and we've had a little bit too much beer, basically egging you on to fail.
And they're videoing you at the same time.
It's
not at all intimidating.
So that feature is helpful in those scenarios. If it works.
So explain how the Tundra system works.
So basically the way it should work, and it's and actually I think it works better with slightly longer trailers.
Yeah, so we had a little like...
It was like a little single axle Airstream.
Yeah.
What is it? The Echo or something it's called? Anyway.
Base camp.
The way the system is supposed to work, you line it up, let's say you line it up to go into the direction you want to while backing up, and then you let go of the steering wheel, the system is enabled,
mm-hmm,
and then even if it's the truck and the trailer are a little bit out of line, the truck can see using the cameras, and it will straighten you out, and it will kind of continue down that path where the trailer was. So it's very helpful to both loading ramp, because you kind of get the trailer kind of in the vicinity where you want to go,
right?
And then the kind of truck helps you back it up.
Yeah, so it's like when you see those lines on the camera, you know, it just straightens out those lines so that you go straight back.
Mm-hmm. So I can see that being useful, but like parking trailers in the weird situations using the knob, it's at least for me, and maybe if also for you, that's not really useful.
I know very few more fear-inducing moments in my life than having a long trailer and taking it down like a street that I don't know where I could turn around, right? The worst example of that was when we did...
I remember the Tatra trip.
The right? Tatra trip where I went into D.C., into Georgetown, which was really stupid, with this really long trailer.
You were driving a Raptor.
I was driving a Raptor pulling this wide, long trailer, and I had to try to figure out where to park it, and I got in a situation where there were literally, you know, the cars parked along the side of the road. There were literally like a half an inch on either side, and there's no... Way I'm going to back that thing up.
I just want to know what you were thinking.
It was a long road trip.
Yeah, we were staying with Emmy's friend, and we were like, "Hey, we need to park this somewhere." And she's like, "Oh, there's street parking." And I'm like, "I don't think there's street parking." Was it in Baltimore? It was in Baltimore, right?
Approaching Baltimore.
It was
somewhere.
Yeah, it was like somewhere like in deep urban Baltimore, right? Which is someplace you should never take a trailer.
Lesson learned.
And she's like, "Oh, there's street parking." Yeah, for a smart car.
Not a Raptor towing a big trailer.
I was tired. It was like midnight. Oh, my God.
After driving 800 miles?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was just horrible. Yeah. There's nothing more fear-inducing. Or like pulling a trailer into a small gas station, right? That's also also really tricky because you get all these people. And then you've got, of course, the fundamental problem that there's liquid there that can explode if it's rammed by a big object.
There you go.
All right, let's get to our main topic, and that is, what's the best type of truck and the best type of engine to tow with, right? So let's just do it in order. Let's go from smallest to largest, because I know the obvious answer is going to be heavy-duty diesel. But is that true, Andre?
Well, it depends on how much you're towing, right?
Right.
I mean, and what your needs are. But I think most people don't need a dually, a big diesel, right?
Yeah.
So what happens if you don't need a dually? So that's why we want to discuss.
All right. So
what happens with the smaller pickups?
Yeah. Let's start.
Yeah, what does happen?
Yeah. Let's start with compact trucks and move our way up. So there are basically only two compact trucks. There's the Santa Cruz, which we have. Thank you, Hyundai, for a long-term 1-year loan. And then there's the Maverick. And both of them come in two flavors. So a Santa Cruz can be had with a 2.5 liter four-cylinder that is normally aspirated with an 8-speed automatic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Or it could be had with a 2.5 liter turbo with a dual clutch, which is what we have.
Yes.
And, of course, a compact truck is, you know, the small, new kind of tiny truck. I would say, you know, if you're going to be towing, the better tow rig in that case is probably the turbo, but it's hamstrung by the dual clutch. I don't think dual clutches are great for towing. I think dual clutches are great for like track work, but they're not
going faster on the track.
Right. Yeah, you know when I had a really good time with that vehicle. So we were doing some drag racing, right? And you think it'd be quick, but it isn't, because you floor it and nothing happens. So you've got a little bit of turbo lag, and then finally the dual clutch wakes up. But by that time, the other vehicle is like halfway down the drag strip. But I was trying to overtake a vehicle going to a ranch, and that dual clutch is magnificent under those circumstances, right? You floor it, and immediately it drops down a gear, and you are like a bat out of hell.
Well, the dual clutch means it has two gears, kind of one working and one pre-selected, right?
Yeah, it's like one's like...
One is waiting.
Yeah.
So around the track, if you're racing or passing somebody on the highway, it works really well.
But what ends up happening, at least when you go off-road with it, Jay, is it tends to overheat. And I don't know if it overheats towing, so you towed with it.
We haven't overheated the tow.
So tell me, how did it tow?
So we have a video on TFL truck as well.
And
so,
what's the tow rating, you remember?
5,000.
Okay.
So, which is actually
pretty good.
Really good for a compact.
Yeah, that's solid.
But obviously... it's a unique combination. It's the turbo with a dual clutch and a special prep package, and you have to obviously have a hitch and wiring, and you need trailer brakes, and they don't provide, of course, at this level in the Santa Cruz, the integrated brake controller for a trailer.
That's if you go to 5,000. If it's less than that,
yes. If it's less, it's like 3 or less in most states, you don't need the brake controller. Anyway, so here's the thing about the Santa Cruz. It drives like a crossover, right? It does not drive like a pickup. It has a really comfortable ride, very nimble, and it feels great. And it felt kind of similar with the trailer. We were towing close to 4,000 with it because we're comparing against the Maverick.
Do we call it the Tyke Ike, that video?
No, I specifically did not.
Okay.
Because our Tyke Ikes are reserved for only the tiniest of trailers.
And by the way, you bought that little tiny thing? The little tiny little car?
Yeah, the little toy.
Yeah, that we used to put on. I gave that away.
Oh, it's gone?
It's gone, yeah.
Oh, the Tyke Ike?
I gave it away.
Okay.
Yeah, I just think.
Is there a happy child that's now
I figured, yeah, it was just sitting in her closet. I think there should be some happy child that's trucking around in that little guy, as opposed to waiting for us to stick it on the front of a trailer, making people think that we've got a tiny child in the trailer.
Let's face it, I think the Tyke Ike never took off.
No, I gave it away.
So it was about 4,000 pounds. And when you compare it to the Maverick, and the Maverick now has a 2-liter turbo. Right, and that's kind of its most capable for towing setup, and it has an 8-speed automatic with its turbocharged engine. The Maverick, in comparison, tows a little bit more like a truck, like a little tiny F-150. So I don't know how that's set up, but that's kind of what it feels like. So it feels
trucky.
It's a little bit more trucky.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a crossover with a bed. It feels like a baby,
like a shrunk, like somebody really super shrunk a Ford Ranger.
Could be the suspension. Doesn't it have what's the suspension on it?
Well, they're
independent rear suspension.
They're both independent rear, but the way they're tuned is a little bit different.
It's really weird because the non-hybrid, right? No, is it the non-hybrid? One of the two has a really like heavy-duty ride, and that's not a compliment.
I think that's the turbo.
That's the turbo.
Because the hybrid was a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, the turbo has a ride. The four-wheel drive.
Yes.
Four-wheel drive one has a ride like a heavy-duty truck that's not laden with anything, and that's not a good ride. It kind of bounces across expansion joints and
the Maverick Hybrid feels
normal.
Way
like an Escape.
Yeah.
Which it is.
It is
a stretched Escape platform.
Exactly. Yes.
So in that case, but the thing is, the Hybrid only is rated to tow up to like 2,000. So if you do want to bring a slightly larger trailer, like a little boat, a little camper, like we were talking about.
Which is weird, because theoretically the Hybrid, because it's electrified, should have more torque.
So, yeah, you would think. You would think it would be set up for more. So, but it's also not available all-wheel drive in the Hybrid.
So, Jay, I'm sure Andre knows this answer, but what do you think is one of the biggest criteria in terms of setting the maximum towing of a vehicle? There's one overriding factor usually that determines how much a vehicle can tow. And I know you're more of a car guy than a truck guy. And Andre and I have had lots of conversations with lots of engineers. So I'm pretty sure about this, but I'll run it by you as soon as Jay makes a guess at it. So, you know, like every truck has a maximum towing.
Right.
So what do they use to determine that? I mean, there's a test, right? There's a Society of Automotive Engineers test where they have to like go to Davis Dam and they have to be able to hold the load at an incline,
at speed
and park it and not have it roll back. There's a whole bunch of things they have to do. But what is like the limiter, the factor that usually like keeps it below a certain threshold of towing ability?
I'm kind of stumped at this one, actually.
Yeah.
I'm more of a car guy, like you said, but I'm very curious to know.
Some people say it's suspension.
Yeah, but usually
which is
no,
not
I
true.
Didn't think it was
it's
suspension.
Not true. Yeah, some people might say it's like, is it a?
It's your horsepower.
Is it your horsepower? Some people might say.
I was thinking maybe torque.
Some people might say brakes. Some people might say, is it the ladder frame versus a unibody? No, it's heat.
It's your radiator.
It's your radiator.
It's being in the transmission.
Yeah,
it's being in the transmission. Let's talk about this. Why?
It's being able to keep your transmission and your engine cool enough to handle the loads, because when you're towing, you're putting a lot of stress on the powertrain. And stress is usually transmitted in the form of heat.
Which is why the new Tundra and most other trucks have gigantic grills.
And you don't want to burn out that transmission.
Hey, so let's, since Jay's new to TFL, why don't we enlighten them what happens when things fail? Because we've had things fail towing, Andre. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about like what happens when stuff fails.
I really want to hear this.
Yeah, let's talk about like our Silverado that we have yet to retest because GM has not brought it back. So let's tell a Silverado story.
So the Silverado, this was last year. We towed it with the 1500 6.2 liter,
okay,
which is one of their most capable for towing. which is their biggest V8.
420 horsepower, 450 pound-foot of torque.
And it was a hot summer day.
And we towed it like straight up a mountain.
Yeah, so from Boulder, Colorado, where we are now, we went up to Gold Hill, which is not very far, about like 15 to 20 miles.
But it's very steep.
But very steep and also slow going. So a lot of that is like 25 miles an hour.
A lot of serpentines.
Serpentine climbing up and down the mountain. Yep. Some of it is dirt. And we overheated the transmission. Yeah, we have a video about this. So it was about 100 degrees ambient.
So you got a warning, right?
We got a warning. So the truck said overheating. Mm-hmm. And it said, please pull over. Please stop and cool down as soon as possible.
Normally, if you take a car on a racetrack, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. And this could be electric, too. When you start to overheat things, the vehicle will derate itself.
Right.
So what it'll do is basically it'll pull torque, it'll pull power. Except when you're towing, you can't do that. You can't derate yourself.
We were towing about 7,000 pounds.
Yeah, it's not going to work. Well, you could derate yourself, but
just be crawling, I guess. Okay. But that's even worse because what was happening, there wasn't enough air going across the radiators, right? It was kind of slow speed. But we were nowhere near its maximum capacity.
No, well, we were way below.
It's rated to tow like up to 12,000 pounds or sometimes a little bit more in certain configurations. Is the one we had. So we were towing 7,000 pounds, which is well within its capability, and we did overheat it. But because it was related to the transmission, it's really hard to cool off a transmission. Once it gets hot, mm-hmm. it'll stay hot for a while.
Yeah. Once upon a time, if you bought a towing package on a truck or even a car, it usually meant that you had either an extra or an oversized transmission cooler. Radiator, basically. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, the manufacturers got away from that. Some of them got away from
it. And I think it's maybe simplification. What they sometimes do is they run a transmission oil line through the radiator mm-hmm. core, the radiator core for the engine, for the coolant itself.
Okay.
So it's not an auxiliary transmission cooler. It's just going, and it's using the same circuit. So it's kind of using that big radiator. But what happens? I mean, the engine is hot, so the radiator is already hot, and you're running hot oil through a portion of it too. So it's just kind of
gets hotter.
It gets hotter and hotter and hotter. So that happened.
So what did you do? So you stopped.
So we stopped for a long time.
Yeah.
I started to use my heater. This was 100 degrees Fahrenheit.
An old trick.
Old trick.
Oh, I love that.
I thought, oh, Andre, turn on your heater core. So I blasted heat as I was sitting there idling, basically.
Yeah, but basically what you're doing is you're using the heater to transfer heat from the engine to
the cabin.
Which is very pleasant in the middle of the summer.
I was going to say, that must have been a great time.
So eventually we made it. So we were there for half an hour. I drove a little bit more. We really wanted to do enough for the review. That's why we were towing two side-by-sides up a mountain.
Yep.
So we eventually made it, and we will be retesting this truck.
Yeah, so what happened? So then we returned it. We told GM, we try to give the manufacturer a heads up when things fail. I think that's a courtesy thing, right?
Absolutely.
We told them, and what did GM do?
So they repeated the test.
Yeah, they actually came here. They sent an engineer to Colorado. Yeah.
I was really impressed.
That's important.
They said that this was a weird problem. They wanted to get to the bottom of it. They sent people here. They asked me where I was. I told them which route we took, and they retested.
And what happened?
And they repeated the problem.
Repeated.
And now they got to the bottom of it, and now we will be retesting that same truck, and we'll find out exactly what the issue was.
So kudos to GM for actually taking it seriously.
Yes.
And sending an engineer or engineering team and actually figuring it out, hopefully. I mean, GM's an engineer-driven company, but
yes.
So
we've had other failures. One that was we also showed was with a heavy-duty truck.
Catastrophic failure? That was a catastrophic failure.
It was an F-250. It was the one with a gasoline engine.
Okay.
And what happened, Mr. Truck and I were towing a fairly heavy trailer, once again, within the capability of the truck. up I-70 out of Denver.
That very steep part when you first get on I-70 outside of Golden.
Yeah.
It's the first hill. You know, have you driven that? If you go skiing, it's that very first hill. I think it's, what's that hill? Floyd Hill. That's what it's called.
Yeah,
Floyd Hill.
Part of it, yes. Yeah. And it's pretty steep, like 6% grade.
Three lanes.
Three lanes.
Everybody's flying 75 miles an hour.
Yeah, we were going like 65, 70. You know, we were trying to keep up with traffic. Always at speed limit, of course.
How much were you towing, do you remember?
It was like it was like 12,000. We were towing Mr. Truck's old truck.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So we're towing like 12,000 pounds, which is for a heavy-duty truck. It's within the limit. And all of a sudden, we hear bang. And I see steam coming out from under the hood. I was a passenger. And then I see the tire run over something. What ended up being, what happened was the water pump seized. So basically the water pump that's connected to the engine using the serpentine belt seized. It threw the belt. The belt came off. The belt hit the fan.
Which
went through the radiator. So the radiator fluid started dumping.
That is a catastrophic failure.
It's basically, So the engine was still running. And then, but we got all the warning lights, you know, coolant air, you know, oil temperature.
You had a light show going on.
Light show.
You were going to recycle this and start it up again.
So Mr. Truck safely kind of got us to the shoulder. We stopped. Thankfully, there was a large shoulder where we could pull off. That was very, very nice. We pulled off far off, stopped the truck. The engine was still running. So I was like, Mr. Truck, let's figure this out. So we shut off the engine. And thankfully, the engine there was no damage to the engine or the transmission.
Wow.
Right? So we got a trailer there.
And then of course, now you got to tow back the truck and the trailer. So, you know, a lot of phone calls ensued. A lot of pieces had to be put in the right place.
And anyway.
And they're on the side of the road now.
With traffic going by.
Yeah, trucks zipping by at probably 55, 60.
They're going fast. 60. I've been on that hill before, that road.
It's pretty scary. Yeah.
So
and coolant flowing down the mountain.
So Ford took this very seriously, too.
Yeah.
Obviously, we showed part of that. We talked to Ford. It was really, I think, just a part failure. Maybe the defective pump, right? So they replaced the pump.
Could be heat again.
Once again, it was hot. It was in the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
So replaced the pump, replaced the radiator, replaced the fan. We did the eye gauntlet, and the truck, you know, did great after that. The second time we tested it. Remember, we had also an issue where the Ram heavy duty went into limp mode.
Yeah,
I remember where it couldn't go up the Ike faster than 30 miles an hour.
Yeah,
it was trying to protect itself.
Yeah,
basically.
And we had a Ram go. That was what truck was that?
It was a heavy duty like Hemi.
Oh, it was a Hemi. It was a gas heavy duty.
Gas heavy duty truck, once again. Yeah.
Once again, I think it overheated.
Yeah. So the moral of the story, Roman.
Is heat.
That's a common denominator.
We've never had a diesel fail, by the way. So we just talked about three issues we had with heat. All of them were gasoline engines. There's a pattern.
And at this point, I think it'd be fair to say we've run the Ike hundreds of times. Not thousands, but hundreds with every different truck. So let's move on to the next category of truck, which is
midsize.
This is where people actually start towing for real, right? I kind of feel like if you're buying a Maverick or a Santa Cruz, if you have a hitch on it, you're going to use it to put bikes on or... You know what I mean? It's probably not, or maybe you will tow like
a little utility trailer with a lawnmower,
right? Or maybe you'll tow like a tiny teardrop trailer, but it's not going to be a towing rig per se. Most people will not use it for that. But mid-sized trucks, people start towing, and let's say you get up to about 6,000 to 7,000 is the max, depending on which truck you have and how it's configured. And now we're talking about different powertrains, right? This is really what this is about.
Yeah.
So, for instance, you can get a diesel in the GMC Twins, and you can get a diesel in the Gladiator. Mm-hmm. And we've towed with both of them. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, let's start with the difference between gas and diesel. Which would you rather have to tow with in a mid-sized truck? Would you rather have the Gladiator with the diesel and the Colorado with the baby Duramax, or would you rather have the six-cylinder, or would you rather have in the Colorado, you can also have the... what's the other one? Is it six or diesel? Are those only two choices in the Colorado?
They do have a little gas four cylinder, but
usually, I think it's a 2.5 like a work truck.
It's kind of like a work parts delivery truck, and we haven't towed with gas four cylinder engines.
Or you could get a turbo in the Ranger. Mm-hmm. So that's another
definitely.
So let's talk about which of those you think is the best.
So yeah, so
let's talk about what you think is the best towing truck, and then which is the best powertrain.
So here's the thing about the Gladiator diesel, right? It has a V6 turbo diesel, EcoDiesel, 3 liter, and it's really, I think, almost oversized for that truck. It has like 442 pound feet of torque.
Wow!
It has like 280 horsepower. I mean, this is a very powerful, very capable powertrain with an 8-speed automatic. And almost like, 7,000 pound towing rating. But you know what the Gladiator's fault is?
The payload.
Not enough payload.
It kills the payload. So what? The more stuff, here's the rule, right? The more cool stuff you put in a truck, heated seats, massaging seats.
Big diesel engines.
Big diesel engines. I want to say that the payload on that thing is like 900 pounds.
Or 1,000 pounds. Yeah. I think one of the Gladiators we tested was like near 900 pounds on payload.
That's like me, you, Nathan, and Blaze.
And that's about it?
And maybe Jay. Jay's pretty small.
Toss me in there. Why not?
How much do you weigh, Jay?
About like 137.
Yeah, see, it's not a lot. Yeah, so
I'm a bit heavier.
You could go in there.
Yeah. Anyway, so very capable power plant. And the beautiful thing about any diesel, right, is they don't have to rev very high. They stay at lower RPMs because that's where they make all their torque. Mm-hmm. And actually, the horsepower is made a little bit more down in the rev range usually. So it's less stressful, in my opinion, because the engine is a little bit quieter. You're still towing down the highway, even on the iGauntlet, even going on the world's toughest towing
test. And also more range usually.
Yeah.
You know, when you're towing, usually you're trying to get a lot of stuff to a lot of places pretty quickly. And so it's nice to be able to just like point it down the highway and be able to go,
at least 200-300 miles.
Because towing will cut your range in half.
Or worse.
Or worse. Yeah, sometimes. We haven't gotten electric vehicles. That's a whole other world.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it will cut your range in half. And so if normally, let's say you have that V6 in the Colorado and you get a range of 300 miles, give or take, right? When you're towing, you might be 150. Whereas in a diesel, you're probably going to get more like 200, 250.
Exactly. So that's really important. What happens with some of the V6s, gas engines, right? They're buzzy. They're high in the RPM. Remember we tested the Gladiator with the V6 Pentastar?
The craziest one, Jay. This is crazy. We thought there was actually some problem with it. Remember when we took the Gladiator with the Pentastar up the iGauntlet?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Jay. I have never seen an engine rev so much, so long.
For so long.
It was a max red line for that entire...
8 minutes of red line.
Oh, that's painful.
Oh my God.
It's one of the worst sounds in the world.
I thought those pistons were going to fly out of that engine. I was like expecting any second to see a piston go.
So did they?
But no, the mighty Pentastar survived.
Yes.
People give the Pentastar V6 lots of grief, but over the years we've showed it under stress.
Well, we've also showed it overheat.
When was that?
A long time ago when we had the Pentastar. That's the one. Okay, this is the one time the Pentastar does not shine, and that's when you put it in a Ram 1500. Remember, we put it in the S. It overheated as well.
So, I think it's a little bit too small for that big
that's
truck.
That's a big vehicle.
So,
great for a Wrangler like Tommy's.
So like Andre said, like the diesel is probably oversized for the Gladiator, but the Pentastar is definitely undersized. So if you have one
for
in
the
a
Ram
1500, I wouldn't like... consider that a great towing rig. And the other problem, quite honestly, is when you're maxed out at RPM, fuel economy becomes a huge issue.
Yeah, you take a hit, obviously, because, the engine is trying to make maximum power and torque, right?
Right.
So the gasoline engine, and these engines are really rev happy. Even GM, the same thing, 3.6 liter gas V6 in the GM truck. The red line is at like 6,100 RPM or 6,200 RPM. This is like... sports car territory as far as like RPM is concerned.
Normally I would be a big fan of diesels, but yesterday we did a really interesting video where we compared the four classes of trucks. So we took a compact truck, the Santa Cruz, mid-size truck, the Frontier, a full-size truck, Andre's, or a half-ton, however you want to talk about it, Andre's hybrid F-150, and our Ram 2500 Cummins, and we did a 160-mile loop to see which one was more fuel efficient.
Okay.
I'm not going to give away the answers, but what was terrifying at the pump was the diesel was over $1 more a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that is. It usually... is on par. Sometimes it's even less, but now diesel is dramatically more. We're looking at this like $5.35, I think I was paying.
Ooh. Per gallon versus gallon. Like $4.35.
Or four-ish. It was four-ish, like $4.04. I think it was $4.04 versus $5.35.
For gasoline, yeah.
Why that is, I don't know, Andre.
So all of a sudden, and this is a recent thing. This is over the last few months.
Yeah, it's like I used to say that like when fuel became more expensive than milk, we were in trouble, and we're there per gallon.
I think this is trouble. You know, in diesel engines, technically, I mean, we talked about the midsize class. They're a little bit more competent, other than the payload problem that we discussed in the midsize. Mm-hmm. So I would say if you want the best power plant, I would say in the midsize segment.
Well, we have to let's talk about the two bigger sellers, right? Let's talk about the Tacoma.
Yeah, the Tacoma and the Ranger.
So
also.
Tacoma has this weird thing where they put a 3.5 liter. They had a 4 liter, and then they changed it. They swapped it out. The 4 liter is still in the 4Runner, and they put a 3.5. And the rationale was that it was supposed to be more fuel efficient. You went on that launch, right?
Yeah, totally.
What was the rationale? Why did they put a 3.5?
Well, it's more high tech, yeah. And also the transmission they updated. So the 5-speed was the older transmission, and then they went the automatic, and then they went to 6-speed. This was in 2016 ish. And the 3.5 liter is dual injection, right? There is a port and direct injection. So it could use different injection cycles or different ways to improve efficiencies.
So that's a lot of words to say. It's pretty thirsty. It doesn't seem to be.
I don't know if they solved many problems.
Yeah, I don't think they made it much better. and especially daunting because, like, the engine and the automatic transmission do not talk to. It's like feuding.
Couples,
yeah, they do not. They like turn their back. It's, you know what it's like? You know what it's like?
What?
Ever get in an argument with your wife or girlfriend and you're driving home and she's just looking out the window and she won't look at you?
Oh, that's the worst.
That's what
silent treatment?
That's what that combination of automatic and 3.5 in the Toyota is like. That's, I'll be driving along and I look down and there's a car passing me and I'm doing 45 miles an hour and I'm like, how did I get to 45? What happened?
It doesn't want to downshift.
It doesn't want to downshift. It's the weirdest thing.
Or sometimes it hunts. And to be fair, like we test them in the mountains, right? It's up and down. And it's just not a good pairing.
No.
Just the V6 with that automatic. The manual, actually, because you have more control as a driver.
Let me ask you this, Andre. Yes. I was just going to ask you this next. Do you like towing better with an automatic or with a manual?
Well, automatic.
Yeah, automatic. Manuals are a pain.
Well, I mean,
if you're on the highway
when you're
like in your top gear, it's fine.
Yeah, but if you're in traffic, if you're going through Denver at rush hour and you underload and you're having, you know, you're towing heavy, I mean,
it's when like it multiplies that pain by tenfold.
And I think it's hard in the clutch too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard in the transmission. It's hard in the driver.
More heat.
Yeah.
You're putting more heat.
Exactly. So I think automatics are getting so good now so that, you know, especially the 10 speeds.
Yeah.
The 10 speed that Ford has, the F-150, even the Ranger now has, and the GM trucks in the full size, the 10 speed is really good.
And dare I say, boys, I'm going to take a step back to the compact trucks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There is one transmission that's worse at towing than a dual clutch. You know what I'm talking about. And people are going to call me a Subaru hater because of this.
Oh, I know where this is going.
CVTs. Yeah, CVTs are not good for towing.
No, they're not.
And let's face it, you know, Nissan put a CVT in the Pathfinder, the previous generation, and people tow with that, and it doesn't. It does not hold up.
Now it's a 9-speed. They went back to a 9-speed.
Yeah, it does not hold up because then you've got this belt that's slipping up and down a cone, and
it, once again heat.
Heat, right? You apply a lot of like stress to it, and it does not like it. Yeah, it does not like, you know, I mean, the problem is that CVTs are maximized and they're designed for maximum fuel efficiency, right? The engine stays in its most fuel efficient rev band, but that's given the weight and the gearing of the car. All of a sudden you add 2,000 pounds or 5,000 pounds and it completely throws that algorithm off.
Yeah, and longevity is a problem. I mean, of course, it's rated for that, right?
Right.
They'll say, you know, it was rated for that weight, but longevity is a question with trucks, right?
All right, so let's keep going. How about the Ranger?
So
a turbo now.
The Ranger, now this is a power plant I really like.
Okay.
It's a 2.3, it's a turbocharged gas engine, And at first on paper, when it first came out, we're like wondering about it. Oh, is it good? Is it too small? Mm-hmm. Right? Is it going to be great? And all of a sudden it turns out, well, it's not the most efficient, of course. But great power, acceleration, the 10-speed works really nice with it. And it tows great. It has lots of power.
You know what else tows really well? Mm-hmm. I towed across country with this, and people don't think about this too often. But Tommy and I towed. I keep testing you. You'll get used to it.
Okay. All right. Oh, I'm getting used to it pretty quickly here.
Because it's fun. Sorry. Yeah, it's just fun. I know you're more of a car guy than a truck guy. So I'll tell you what we towed.
Okay.
And you tell me what we were towing with. What vehicle? What truck? Okay.
All right.
So we towed a Pioneer. I'm not going to tell you the brand, but a Pioneer from L.A. to Denver. So what vehicle were we using to tow it?
No, you were towing a Talon.
Oh, sorry, Talon. It was the same manufacturer.
Same works.
Same manufacturer.
Right.
It was a Talon. We were towing a Talon.
Ta-caw! Yeah.
Talons.
All right, a Talon is a side-by-side. I'm going to keep giving you hints.
Okay, when was this, though?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
A year ago. So we were towing a Talon. It's a side-by-side. Mm. I'll give you the big hint. We were towing a Honda Talon. So what vehicle were we towing it with?
Ridgeline.
Exactly. So that's actually a really good tow truck, Andre.
Yeah.
Well, people don't give enough
the
credit.
The second generation one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The latest one, the 2021.
Yeah, it really tows well. Yeah. It was the HP.
Well, you weren't super taxing it.
I mean, you told
3,000 pounds with it,
but still,
it's comfy,
really
right?
Yeah, it was comfy. You know, that truck is so comfortable. It's like being in a pilot.
With a bed.
It kind of is. It's in a platform.
It's a very powerful, so that's a V6, right?
Yeah.
The Pentastar, but it's a very powerful V6. I want to say it puts out almost 300 horsepower.
It's like 280-ish or something.
Yeah, that's good. And the truck has, at least with 3,000 pounds, it just cruises down the highway. It doesn't care. You feel very much in control. Once again, no integrated brake controller. And let's talk about brake controllers. How many mid-sized trucks actually come with a brake controller? Do any come with them? You can get them.
So here's the funny part. Yeah. The little Maverick has one.
The Maverick has one.
Yes, in the compact segment, which is
weird.
Wow. Which is weird, but that's how Ford is. You know, they like to put lots of truckiness.
The Ranger doesn't have one. You can get it.
Yeah, it's like a little accessory.
So is the Tacoma. You can get it as an accessory.
Tacoma, you may have to go aftermarket.
Is it? Or have a Colorado.
You know who has an accessory? The Gladiator has
that's
an accessory.
That's you're right.
The little Gladiator. Knobs.
But we've never seen it.
I've never used it.
They said
it's going to be available, and then we've never actually seen it.
Hey, if anybody out there has a Gladiator with an accessory Jeep brake controller, let us know, because I don't think it exists.
No, I think it exists.
You think so?
I believe them, but I've never used it.
You think that actually it's like in some trucks, like actually they've installed it in trucks?
I think so.
Okay. All right.
I think it's also like a dealer installed item. So you buy the truck and then the dealer installs it for you. The brake controller.
Okay.
So, but that's an issue. Most of them don't come with brake controllers.
Right.
Tacoma doesn't. The Colorado GMC twins, the Chevy Colorado and GMC mm-hmm. Canyon, do. So I think Chevy is really good then with this in the midsize segment. But as a norm, it's not the norm in the midsize segment. And once again, safety is really important. We talked about going up the mountain, overheating, but the scarier part is actually going down the mountain with no brakes.
All right, well, let's not forget the other midsize truck. There's one other one we haven't discussed as far as I remember, and that is, of course, the brand new Frontier, which also has a V6.
Mm-hmm.
Might be more horsepower in class if you're using the right fuel.
310,
yeah. And we actually have one at the office. We just got it. So what do you think that is a tow rig?
So they added tow mode to it for the latest one.
Oh, that's good.
Which is good.
That's good.
Right. They added tow mode. It just kind of reprograms the transmission.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So what you know, first of all, let's do a rant. Okay. Here's another rant.
Okay. We had three or four already.
I get... Once upon a time, if you want to tow haul mode, you would push a button on the end of the stock, and it would this little like tow haul mode light would light up on the mm-hmm. dashboard, and you really had no clue what it was doing, if anything.
It's like a little trailer icon.
You got a little light.
You're like, oh, I'm towing now.
It made you feel good.
Yeah, right.
But if it actually did something, I'm not sure. I think the thing it was supposed to do was if you had an automatic transmission, it would rev higher, so it wouldn't shift as early. So instead of like having it shift at 4,500, let's say, it would shift to 5,500. And then going down a hill or mountain, right, it would also downshift at a different point to give you as much engine braking as possible. Is that right, Andre?
It's called grade shifting.
Grade shifting,
right.
Yeah.
So it's more important, actually, on the downhill because it tries to slow you down. So, and that's what a lot of the tow haul modes are supposed to do. And also, well, and it's also less efficient if you're going in like stop and go traffic because, like you said, it revs higher on the way accelerating and it revs higher in the, when you're decelerating. So it's just supposed to help you tow better.
Yeah. And so here's my rant, okay? Then technology moved ahead. And now, of course, because the vehicles are so computerized, when you plug in a trailer, not when you hitch it up, but when you plug it in, right? The truck knows that there's something, you know, behind it. It's like a dog with a leash. You're like, what the hell's that? Oh, there's something on me, right?
Yeah.
Right? And my rant is, why do they still have to make you manually put it in tow haul mode? And now it's no longer a little button, right? It's usually like a little selector that is like this. If you have, especially an off-road truck, right? There's like off-road mode. There is snow mode. There is
moguls mode.
Yeah, there's like 15 different. Ford does like 15 different modes. Eco modes. Hyundai does smart mode, whatever the hell that is, as opposed
and
to dumb
tow mode.
And tow mode. Why doesn't it just go? You know, if you got a trailer plugged in, what else would you be plugging in there? Christmas lights?
Should pick it up automatically.
Right.
Or should ask you, hey would you like that?
Yeah, because now, of course, you can also do this thing where you can maintain a record of what trailer you're towing. So if you own a trailer, the truck not only knows you're towing, but if you've actually taken the time to input the trailer, it knows what trailer you're towing, and then it calculates the amount of time you've been towing. So it
and the miles you've
been. And the miles, yeah. Which is good because you're putting a lot more stress on the truck.
So you can remember to lubricate your wheel bearings.
Exactly. So why the heck do we have to put it in tow haul mode if you plug in a trailer?
It's a great question. You know who's taking this further?
And I think you know what the problem is, right? I'll let you answer. The problem with that is, like, I'll be towing, right? And I'll forget to put it in tow haul mode, and I'll somehow feel like I'm doing damage to the truck because I've got a trailer.
Like, oh my gosh.
Oh my God, it's not in. Because you stop to go to the bathroom, you stop to go get a drink or something, you know, you just forget, right? I'm sorry, what was your question?
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Because the other thing that tow haul mode, and Mr. Truck, we've talked about this at iGauntlet sometimes, when the engine is revving higher, which it often does in tow haul mode, technically, it's like athlete running, right? Mm-hmm. Your heart is pumping fast, your blood is moving. It helps to kind of cool down the whole system because, you know, you're
like sweating more.
Yeah, you're basically working more, so you're actually maintaining the whole system in a better state, which is what tow haul mode is supposed to be doing.
And you know what else it should do when you plug in a trailer? It should turn on the lights.
Yes.
Because Andre has a CDL, and he knows that if he's towing, you have to have your lights on.
But also it helps you understand, like, so your connection is still maintained with your trailer, right? Because you can look back, and you can see little marker lights on your trailer, and that's when you know everything is great. Everything is still connected.
So, when you're towing commercial driver's license, you have to have your lights on. You don't necessarily have to have your lights on when you're towing privately, but it's like wearing a helmet on a bicycle. You don't have to have one, but God help you if you fall, you don't have one.
It's an additional safety thing. And then, so Rivian is actually kind of extending this paradigm because when we told with the Rivian, we can start talking about this now.
Yeah, so yeah, but it's another mid-sized, well.
It's kind of ish.
So Rivian has this unique brake controller where it's actually electronic. So it's in the screen versus being. So the way brake control normally works, Jay, is there is a little like grab handle, and you pull it, another little toggle sideways, and when you pull, you're activating the brakes on the trailer. And then there's usually a plus and a minus button, and you can add gain, or in other words, how much the trailer brakes based on how much you need. Mm-hmm. But Rivian has kind of turned that on its head.
Yeah, so now the controller for that gain is now digital,
yes.
Right? Not an actual push button, which is okay. And then the brake controller override, you know, the manual control, is actually a little wheel on the steering wheel.
Which is also the wheel that controls the side mirrors, which is also the wheel that controls the seating
the
position.
Volume.
The volume. It's just, Now it's the wheel that controls your brake controller.
Yes, but what they do is when we plugged in the plug from the trailer, the 7-pin connector, into the Rivian, it actually says, you're plugging something in, would you like tow haul mode? So it's actually trying to be smarter. So I think they're on the right kind of path there. But Once again, the controls are a little bit different.
So Andre, now we're getting into electric trucks, but I think we've gone an hour, and I think this is such an interesting conversation, we probably need to do a part two, because the world of full-size or half-tons is just...
And heavy-duties.
And heavy-duties is so much to discuss, because now we're really getting into the towing powertrains and the towing rigs. So I say we, you know, to be continued.
Well, can we summarize this in this way?
Okay.
Go for it.
So
let's summarize it this way.
Yes.
What's the best compact or mid-size towing truck? If you had to pick one, what would be the best truck and what would be the best powertrain? You give me yours, I'll give you mine.
Ooh. For the compact, I would say, and still this is, I think I said that before, it would have to be the turbocharged Maverick.
Okay.
It doesn't tow quite as much. It's not rated to tow as highly as the Santa Cruz. Right. It's about 4,000 pounds. But I just felt it was a little bit more trucky.
I completely agree.
It's a little bit more trucky, right? So the compact Maverick turbocharged one is, if you're towing, I think that's the one. For the midsize segment, it's a little bit harder. There's a lot more choice.
I'm going to go with Diesel Gladiator.
And I'm going to go with the Ranger.
Okay.
So we disagree there.
Yeah.
So I think in general, diesel, like you said, more range, more capability. I like the powertrain on the Ranger. It's just great.
And to avoid, I'd say avoid the Pentastar. It'll do it. I think they changed the throttle mapping so it doesn't scream
they
as much.
They changed a little bit, yeah.
I'd probably avoid that. We haven't really maxed out. I was really impressed by the Ridgeline, but we haven't really maxed it out. So I'd like to see. I think
it's
like 5,000 or six, right? So you really can't tell at 3,000. You know, you got to really push it up a hill and at full. So I can't really speak to it. It just feels solid and stable, and it's a truck that most people don't think about.
Yeah,
I'm not in love with the Tacoma towing.
Yeah, once again, not a lot of grade shifting.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's kind of also a scream of an engine, the engine that likes to rev. And not a lot of great shifting on the way down.
I like the Ranger. I think you're right. The Ranger does a great job. I think if we were going to pick Colorado, I'd go with that little Duramax, the baby Duramax once again.
But not a ZR2.
But not a
standard Colorado.
Yeah, don't go with the ZR2.
Yeah. Because the ZR2, first of all, the grille has changed. We talked about how important cooling is.
Yeah.
So the grille has changed, so it's rated lower
and
on towing.
Keep away from the Bison, which is even worse.
It's heavier. The Bison is heavier.
I know. Right? Yeah. The more stuff you put on it, the less it tows. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think those are conclusions.
And actually, the Frontier is a pretty good tow rig, too.
Yeah, it was pretty stable. You and I towed with it. We towed a boat in Utah.
Yeah.
And it was really stable, good truck. Mm. So they added the tow haul mode.
A little thirsty.
They added the tow haul mode, but did not add the brake controller.
Yeah.
I mean, they went like 95% there, and then, anyway. So that was my...
You know what the scoop is, I think, Andre, for me at least. Like, if you have a sports car, right, you want a spoiler, because it says you have... It kind of goes with the territory, or a air intake, or something.
And it's functional, right?
Functional.
It looks cool.
I think a truck with a brake controller says it's a truck. I think even more so than a sports car without a spoiler, a truck without a brake controller says, the brake controller may not make it more trucky, the lack of it makes it less trucky for sure, and less functional, because let's face it, if you have to go get, like we have one of those, you know, aftermarket...
It hangs down,
you have to mount it, you have to figure out where to put it.
Yeah.
It's just a pain in the butt. And what you're doing is you're limiting people to basically 3,000 pounds when the truck's ability is like 5,000 or 6,000 pounds, because without that, unless you have a surge brake, of course, but without the brake controller, you do not want to tow a 6,000 pound trailer just relying on the truck's brakes. It's dangerous, it's illegal, and it's terrifying.
Yes.
Well, there you have it.
So part two coming soon.
Coming soon, we'll continue this conversation. It was fun. Thank you, Jay.
No problem.
Yeah, see you guys next time. And remember, if you miss our videos, alltfl.com, it's all there. I keep answering comments saying, hey, the people keep suggesting stuff that we've done.
Yeah, why don't you talk about the new Tacoma updates?
And I'm like,
we've done that.
Yeah, somebody said that. What about the
alltfl.com?
Alltfl.com.
Yeah, because that's breaking news and that lives on now. And if you're wondering why we don't just put everything on one channel, because it would just kill you guys. You wouldn't. The amount of videos and news we put out, we work really hard.
That's why we have 8 channels. But one-stop shopping is alltfl.com.
Yeah, I'll believe in choice. All right, see ya. Thanks, Andre. Thanks, Jay.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.